All right. Let's get fired up here.
Maximum freedom. Read.
Stay on target.
Maximum freedom.
Stay on target.
Maximum freedom. Read Rothbard.
Hello and welcome to the Read Rothbard special elections episode. My name is Daniel and I am here with my friend Robert. How are you, Robert?
Moist. I'm still drying off. I just got back from my swim in the ocean of liberal tears. It was really nice and refreshing. Feeling good.
Yeah, there is a double rainbow of sadness with a now with Schadenfreude.
Yeah, lots of Schadenfreude going on yesterday. The lefty Facebook posts, which you were barraging me with yesterday, were super entertaining. Everybody on the left seemingly talking about how the sky is falling. There's so many tears, so many cries for this is a win for bigotry. I mean, whatever he supposedly stands for, bigotry, patriarchy, hatred, racism, you name it, all kinds of isms. This just shocked the left with the supposedly backwards, idiotic, whatever, racist thoughts that every other American apparently has. Even though, I mean, we're talking about, what is it, like 50-some million that voted for each candidate? So you're talking about 15% of the population that voted for any one candidate. But they want to make it a referendum on hatred. As if hatred won this day, and now they're going to be super resilient and fight through and persevere against all this horrific oppression. What are they going to tell the kids, Daniel? What are they going to tell the kids? How am I going to explain this to my children?
That was a recurring theme in a lot of the stages of grief posting I was seeing last night on Facebook. There was a whole lot of disbelief when the tide was turning. People were saying they were very nervous and scared and as it became more and more locked in, if you will, they started, you know, pulling out all the, you know, all my LGBTQARBCDEFXYZ friends and disabled people and whatever, you know, your life is going to be worse. I'm scared for you. And what are we going to tell the kids? That seemed to be their common appeal, I suppose. I also saw a lot of virtue signaling going on, a lot of anger. A lot of disbelief, a lot of tears, a whole lot of tears. And I just want to say that, you know, we're the Read Rothbard podcast, and we don't approve of any of this political sideshow circus. But we, on a personal level, you know, Daniel and Robert as individuals, just found it amusing to see someone with the deck stacked so highly in their favor and the media in their pocket and so many things that it was a near certainty, especially to all these leftists, that it was just going to be a celebration similar to 2008 where history was made in the first whatever, you know, back in 2008 it was the first black person and now it would have been the first woman president and it was going to be this coronation and just this kumbaya feel-good situation. And to have that shattered right before their very eyes and to be able to witness it in real time via the social media was quite a spectacle. It was one of the more entertaining evenings I've had in quite some time.
Yeah, it was quite delicious, feasting on their tears. I had prepared for a day of barely paying attention, not, you know, just like taking it with resignation that, okay, Clinton's going to win. Like you said, the whole media apparatus was geared towards it. There were so many articles and stories in the weeks leading up to the election that were all about how Clinton or Trump was terrible, how Clinton was obviously going to win. All the polling data said that she was going to win. And then for this complete opposite thing to happen shows how out of touch and tone deaf these people were living in, this media echo chamber that was happening. I just took extreme pleasure in it, especially just because, like, yes, I'm an anarchist, and I don't approve of any ruler. But, like you said, to see the whole apparatus stacked towards this one establishment candidate, all the money that went to Hillary, everything was against Trump, and yet he still came out and won somehow, some way. And I was skeptical the whole time. Like, are you sure? There's no way. Come on, Hillary's been cheating so well. She's been doing so good. How could this be happening? And you just kept getting me more information. No, this is really happening. This is really happening. And you showed me that the Newsweek cover, and you were like, the fix is in. And there's this Newsweek cover of, like, Queen Hillary, her reign begins, or something like that. And then there was a New York Times daily wrapped in an ad that said her reign begins, or something like that. Just everybody was ready for the Hillary presidency, and to see everybody have to eat their lunch.
Brexit had just happened a few months ago and was a similar deal where all of the polling data and every expert's prediction was that it was going to fail. And, I mean, it may still fail to be enacted because now there's all this rigmarole about whether they need to be a parliamentary
provision
or some bullshit, you know. So it's always the case, right? If it's the establishment's answer or directive, it's the will of the people and it's democracy and you just got to grit your teeth and bear it. But when they don't get the establishment answer, then they say, oh, it's rigged, or we need this extra hoop. We got to protect the people from themselves. They don't know what they want.
Yeah, that was a big line in Brexit, how these moron racists just don't want to be a part of this union and be together and be happy with everybody, which is just tone deafness. That's, what is that? Is that the lefty calling card refrain? If you disagree with me, you're a racist? If you disagree with me, you're a misogynist bigot?
Well, if you don't have an argument, you resort to name-calling, right?
Right. So, yeah, this is a big, big example of the media not understanding the people, for lack of a better word.
Well, you know, I wonder if it's that or if it's more of the people didn't respond in the way that the media was trying to direct them.
Yeah. I could say you're making the argument that the media actually knew and was trying to instead just be totally in the tank, which is, I agree with.
Yeah, I don't think they knew that they were going to lose. I think that they thought they were going to win, but that they thought they were going to win because they were the ones trying to shape the result.
Opinion. Right. Well, they always do. That is their job, to shape public opinion, to direct the unthinking cattle, as they no doubt believe them.
Yeah. So I just pulled up our chat from last night, and at the very beginning of it, the first thing I sent you yesterday morning was a little meme thing that said, election prediction, Democrats to take an early lead, which will drastically change later in the afternoon once Republicans get off work.
Which is a cute line from the Republicans.
Yeah, and it was quite prescient, actually.
Yeah, it's actually what happened.
Yeah, pretty interesting. And, I the lesson that I draw from this and that the establishment will draw from this, aside from the don't ever use email again because of the WikiLeaks, is if you're going to cheat harder, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure that you cheat beyond any possibility of being overwhelmed by actual what was allowed of actual results. I mean, I don't have any evidence myself of tampering or rigging, but I also don't believe in the system to begin with. And, you know, you've got electronic voting machines, and I believe there's a Stalin quote from long ago where he said it's not who votes
that counts, it's who counts the votes.
Yeah, it's who counts the votes that matters.
Yeah.
And I think that on some level there is some truth to that. And then, of course, there's the collusion with the media, which not only was visible on its face, but was corroborated by the WikiLeaks emails where, Donna Brazile is tipping off the campaign to certain questions that will be asked in the debate. Stories are run by the Clinton campaign before they're published to make sure that it's okay that they say these certain things. And I've heard that, you know, a journalist – type people will respond to that accusation and say, well, that's just normal. You know, anyone would approach their subject before publishing a story to make sure that the information is correct. But I don't think they did that on anything with Donald Trump, and I don't think that.
And that's a far cry. Saying that you're going to say and notify somebody that you're writing an article about them, and giving it to them to look over and approve of are two totally different things.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, just another example was yesterday morning. There was a Yahoo headline that says, "Wait times to vote reach up to 4 hours due to voter suppression efforts." And then you read the story, and it's, you got to show an ID to vote. So their headline is totally misleading. I mean, it's fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's to paint it in the totally, like, most negative light.
Right. So let's go over some of these Facebook posts. I know that the liberals are already crying about how Russia hacked the election and Russia's the cause for this. There's a story out now that's saying how the Russian oligarchs are super smug and happy with themselves, implying that they somehow rigged the election. It's funny that when Trump calls the election rigged, everybody's like, no, you're just crybaby, you're just losing. And then now that he's won and they're saying it was all rigged, it's just...
Yeah, lovely. Don't forget that just before that they were all saying it was rigged because of the Bernie situation. So, of course it's rigged. Oh, no way it's rigged. Oh, of course it's rigged. You know, Make up your minds, people.
Either you love democracy and you think that it's perfectly justified. It's kind of weird. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of pure democracy lovers. It seems to be a lot of fair weather democracy loving fans. Like when they get what they want, when they're on the winning team, we're in the majority, then democracy's great. But when it's not, then they cry foul. Like something was either the people that voted the other way were clearly too stupid to be allowed to vote, or who knows? They're all a bunch of racists and bigots, and I can't believe I live in this country. It's a failed state. Oh no, what does this say? What am I going to tell my kids?
We're moving to Canada.
We're moving to Canada. Yeah, so there were a bunch of celebrities who came out and said that they were going to move to Canada if Trump wins. And they've been largely silent. I don't think any of them are going to follow through, but it'll be fun to keep an eye on them, I suppose.
You know, I was joking with a coworker earlier that if any of those celebrities do want to move to Canada, I live about 5 miles from the border, and my kids and I will set up a lemonade stand while they're waiting in line.
Are you going to have a permission slip to run that lemonade stand?
No, we'll get shut down by law enforcement for not having a $350 permit to have a lemonade stand. But it's the thought that counts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so all the doom and gloom that's coming out of the Facebook, I mean, from what I hear, Trump's going to repeal Obamacare and then everybody's going to die from not having forced insurance, right?
Well, and racism.
Banned the racism. So there were a lot of people that were
come
saying...
Down with racism.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people that are saying, if you're a LGBT, you can come over to my house for a place to stay to be safe. What do they think is going to happen? Is he just going to sick like some sort of Gestapo SS anti-LGBT squad, or
I think
just going to go kill minorities in their sleep?
I think they literally think that he is the next Hitler, and part of it is, you know, they had to build him up to be such a huge monster that they believed it.
Yeah.
And so. Now they get this.
Well, in order to vote for Hillary, I guess you would have to, right? Because she was such an unlikable piece of garbage.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, hey, you know, the choices weren't great this year, but I'm scared of Trump.
Right, yeah, there were a lot of reluctant voters who were just like, well, anybody but Trump. And that's basically what happened when the anybody but Bush years and always the lesser of two evil crowd comes out of the woodwork and says, well, I don't like him. But the problem is that every vote isn't interpreted as a protest vote against the other guy. It's always a mandate for the winner to rule.
Yeah, I saw somebody comment that because he won by such a margin, electoral college-wise, and that the other sections of government are also Republican, that it essentially is a mandate that everything that he wants to do, he will now be able to do. But to your point earlier, you know, there's 330-some-odd million people in the country. Just over 100 million voted, and it was roughly, you know, 51-49 or 50-50, one way or the other, and then the Electoral College system directed it towards Trump. But when you break it down on a generous level, only 20% of the people actually selected either one of these people.
Right.
and that's being generous. It's probably closer to 17 or 18%. And it's supposed to be this majority system. Like, well, 17% of the people said you must now bow down to this ruler. Oh, to that I say, you know, fuck you, which was the lefty tears response in many cases.
Yeah, yeah. They said that anybody that voted for Trump, well, not anybody, not every one of them, but several of the posts were very full of vitriol against anybody who could have voted for Trump, including friends and relatives. Please unfriend me. You're the worst person in the world. This is a vote for hatred and bigotry, misogyny. This is going to fuel the feminist cries of patriarchy, oh, for years.
Oh, yeah, it already has. Yeah. I've already seen memes where proof that the glass ceiling still exists is that an overqualified woman was passed over for a job by an unqualified buffoon or some bullshit like that, you know.
Right.
I sent you another meme just about democracy yesterday, I believe. And it says, democracy, ? I want nothing to do with a system which operates on the premise that my rights don't exist simply because I'm outnumbered.
Amen.
And that's by R. Lee Wrights. Don't know who that is, but that's a beautiful quote. And I bring that up because he mentions outnumbered. And as we were just saying, you know, 17 or 18% of the people actually voted for the winner. So it's not even that you're outnumbered. It's that you're outgunned, you know?
Right, it's not the, not even close to being the majority of the people in the country. Just, yeah, just 17% compared to you. They say that's how it goes.
Yeah, and then you've got to be subjugated to whatever the will of the people is. Though all the leftists right now are crying foul, of course, and saying, well, he's not my president. And, you know, the one, sidetrack a little bit, the one really scary thing I see out of this, the actual scary thing, is that now the leftists are doubling down and saying that, well, now we're just going to work even harder to overcome this and to achieve this social justice paradise. You know, we're gonna slog through these 4 years, and then we're going to come back even stronger.
Yeah, which is a bit of a scary thought, because these social justice warriors, they don't seem to – I don't know if they're ever going to rest, but they seem to – operate on the idea that there are all these wrongs socially, which are basically just people's preferences. And they're all wrong because they don't align with theirs. And not only are they going to scream about it right in your face, but then they're also going to lobby government to pass laws to force you to do what they want. And I would have no problem with any of these lefties if they just kept their opinions and sprouted, you know, shouted their opinions on Facebook and talked about them and discussed them. I don't care. That's fantastic. Even if I disagree with pretty much everything they say, it's just when they want to start imposing violence against me, then I find it incredibly repugnant. And they seem to not realize that that's what they're doing. They're just using the state because that's what you do. That's how you get things done. So if they're actually going to double down and I mean, there's going to be plenty of fodder for anti-SJW people on YouTube for the next couple of years. No problem. There's a big orange man in the White House. So they're going to rail against him for years, and they'll probably have a bunch of stupid things to say. But if this doesn't dissuade them from democracy, that is absolutely unfortunate. I mean, there were a few comments in your Facebook feed that you were feeding me that was talking about how they were a little bit disillusioned with democracy and that sort of thing, and I thought that was fantastic. And all those hashtag not my president stuff. I think it's great, honestly. He's not my president. He's not my ruler. But neither would have Hillary have been. So it's kind of a bit partisan crap. But anything that gets them upset with the system, I think, is a little bit on the good side. I just wish they would see the immoral nature of democracy.
It's the system itself that is the problem. The whole institution of politics is similar to or akin to the institution of slavery, though on a slightly lower percentage scale.
Right. The means of your labor are subject to confiscation. You are essentially a slave.
Yeah, by a less than 100% amount, with some level of control by the majority over you.
Right.
So it's a step down from slavery for sure, an improvement, if you will, and you know, progress has certainly been made from the feudal days. But to put your stock in democracy as the be-all, end-all, and then if you don't get your way, then finally see that maybe there's a problem with it, there is a silver lining in that, for sure.
If they'll see it, I don't know. This idea that democracy was created, you know, thousands of years ago by the Greeks, and that this is the ideal form of human society, and we haven't gotten better ideas since then, is kind of ridiculous. It's almost a deification. I mean, you sent me those images that were just like the religion of the state, and you've got your trappings and your wardrobe and your ceremonies, all this propaganda, which just indoctrinates people into the legitimacy of this crap. Just, I mean, if you look at like a king of an old country, he looks like a pope. I mean, they're dressed up in like fancy hats and they got like jewelry on them and whatever. They look like a religious leader with all the trappings and the fancy finery. It's like this pomp and entertainment circumstance to just give off that air of legitimacy, because otherwise, what do they got? They have a sword at your face.
Yeah. You know, that conjures an image in my mind of you take that set of rulers and then you update it a little bit to what they do in England, in the UK, where they still wear the wigs and the barrister's robes and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's still a little bit of that pompous pomp and circumstance, and then you transition to, in present day US, in the suit wearing, you know, senators and the pantsuit wearing dictatorettes, wannabe dictatorettes, and there's really no difference other than the costumes.
No, yeah, there is no difference, just the slight fashion sense, I suppose. But the state operates very much like a religion in that you've got your churches where you indoctrinate, which are essentially the schools.
You've got the ceremonies that go on, like the voting booth thing. Deified, you know, gods, which are the politicians. And I always love Salente's quote that Hollywood or celebrity for ugly people.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah, you've got, I'm just looking at this image right now. You got your temples and your monuments, which is the fancy buildings where these laws were passed. You've got your common prayer, where everybody says your pledge of allegiance. You got your sacred symbols, which is the American flag, and you got the sacred text, which is like the Constitution, Bill of Rights, that sort of thing. Then you got these statues of deities, which are like Lincoln, Washington, Jefferson, these people. And then you got these situations where we're all meant to, like at sporting events, stand up and sing and salute the flag and all these just ceremonies that just engender all this belief. I'm doing a poor job discussing this, but and then you're supposed to die for it. It's
And kill for it.
Disgusting, really, and kill for it.
Yeah, so we're a little bit into this discussion already. I do want to point out that this is the only episode in which we are going to gloat about a political outcome where somebody won, and it's going to be very short-lived. We do not support Trump, though, on it, like I said earlier, on a personal level, we were kind of secretly rooting for him, and we had entertainment value in seeing the progression of events, but we will consider him enemy number one pretty much starting now. So as much as we enjoyed seeing him win as a middle finger to the establishment, we still think that he is a terrible, terrible person who has an authoritarian streak and will do very, very awful things and not decrease the power of government. He will increase it. Hillary would have done similar. So it was really a no-win situation from our perspective. It's just sort of a humorous entertainment-level spectacle that we witnessed last night. And so I just wanted to point that out. And we're going to continue to, throughout this episode, talk a little bit about our reactions to these things. But I just want you, listener or two, to be reassured that we are not going to go the way of Molyneux and become a statist and be super happy with the result and reject libertarianism or the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing. Is he just going to turn a blind eye to Trump's policies now? Or is he going to take him to task? Or is he going to, now that he has a larger audience, since he was picked up from talking about Trump all the time, is he going to go back to his anarchistic roots? Who knows? We'll see. But
You know, here's to hoping that, maybe it was a calculated effort to increase his reach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, pull in all these Trump supporter types and double down and say, hey, if he does actually win, then I've got these people who are now following me on this Trump train. And then I will start slipping in the critiques of him and bring it back to the anarcho-capitalist situation. And if that is the case, and this would be cunning.
it could be a long con. It could be.
Yeah, I would be super impressed with Steph if he was doing that. I mean, here's to you, man, if you're doing that.
Except for that recent libertarian video. I don't really know what he's doing there. But, speaking of the libertarians, how did they end up doing? Not very well, I heard. Something like 3%? And
yeah,
neighborhood of
3%, though, as you and I know, Johnson was not an actual libertarian, and this is not a Scotsman fallacy. He is in no way, shape, or form a libertarian. He is a hybrid of the Democrat and Republican. He's aligned with one party on a certain set of issues and the opposite on the alternate set of issues. So he's kind of straddling the line between the two. So those disaffected with either party who were seeking a third option would, you know, potentially have them. But only 3% took him up on that offer. And it wasn't any bigger of a turnout than was expected for a third party. It wasn't high enough to get federal funding, which I think a lot of people in the libertarian camp who supported Johnson were hoping for. I think that was what Nick Gillespie was hoping for when he had that debate with Walter Block, that they would get this 5% threshold so that they would then have a certain level of legitimacy. But on top of that, they would also be qualified for federal funding for their party, for the campaign, and et cetera. And that seems like a very non-libertarian position to take to try to get federal funding for your political party. So let's just say that that's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, I saw some early people blaming third-party voters for this, but then lately it's been more blaming women and Latino voters, saying that more of them voted for Trump than they expected, and they're not quite sure how to act. I'm sure it'll be a whole bunch of women yelling at other women, claiming they're not real feminists, but well, we'll see.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that seven stages of grief thing going on, where there's going to be an anger and a blaming and a coping and all of these different things, and everyone's going to be at a different level throughout. But yeah, there's going to be plenty of blame to go around. And if I may throw a potential blamee into the mix, I would say Zarna is just as responsible as anyone could be for this outcome.
I think you're overplaying her ability to do anything, but let me hear your argument here. I'm amused. You have my attention, sir.
Well, so Zarna, of course, was the perpetrator in the humongous incident, which has been seen by millions of people.
That's
and
true.
It goes on to exemplify the overreach of the SJW culture, where this man was verbally and physically attacked. I think she swung at him or tried to hit at him because he made a dad joke referring to himself as humongous when she aggressively asked for his name. And she posted the video in an effort to shame him publicly, but it turned out that most people saw it and were like, this woman is crazy. Why is she going after this guy? Why is she yelling sexual assault in a public area? You know, why is she making a scene? Why is she being so aggressive with this guy? And so most people that I'm aware of viewed this video and thought that she was ridiculous and that they wanted to support this humongous person. His real name is Rudy something. And I think that is a certain incident that was seen by millions of people, and it played into the Trump anti-SJW, you know, tell it like it is mentality. Like, I've had enough of this social justice bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone else was also sick of it, or after seeing the humongous video was like, oh, that's what Trump's talking about, then, you know, if they're inclined to vote, that may have swayed them. So, Zarna, this one's on you.
Yeah, there's a severe level of tone deafness, this out-of-touch SJW group that like you said, they make the videos where they're acting insane, post them online expecting sympathy and to shame the target of their assault, and then it backfires on them. Like, they're going, what? What are you talking about? And then they double and triple down on this rhetoric. And I think a lot of people watching it just go, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, you are crazy.
I'm going to vote anti-establishment. I'm going to vote for the guy you hate. There could be some of that. There could absolutely be some of that. Because there's a lot of people that I would say are maybe sick and tired of the Bush, Clinton, establishment, oligarchy. Throw Obama in there too, I suppose.
Well, there's already calls for Michelle Obama to run in 2020. So, you know.
Yeah, really? That's gross.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. You got a black woman. And then you're checking all the oppressed boxes and being not oppressed at all.
There's no boxes left.
Yeah, maybe Zarna had a part of it.
Well, I just want to say that I want to shift some of the blame to her, mostly for sport. But I think that maybe she did have a potential impact in people who are potentially undecided, and they saw how ridiculous these SJW people can be. I mean, there's that Jordan Peterson professor in Toronto who is going to be prosecuted because he didn't comply with somebody's request to be referred to by some pronoun that's on this list of preferred pronouns by people who are transgender or whatever. And when it
there's
really
some
breaks,
law.
Yeah, in Canada, there's a human rights decency law or something.
Oh, my God. The SJW, like lefties, are going to be right at home in socialist Canada. That place is a nightmare.
I hope they
actually do. That place is a nightmare. Yeah.
If they do go, then that just means that somebody is sucking off the teat of the productive. And how's this for controversy, motherfuckers? Someone who's sucking off the teat of the productive is going to go somewhere else, leaving the productive here to actually accomplish something.
Yeah, it'll be like a reverse Gulf Gulch. Be nice.
Yeah, just drive out
all the looters and feeders. You can go to the socialist utopia up in Canada where you can have your safe spaces and you can have your government enforced pronouns, and you can't actually carry a gun or bear spray to defend yourself.
No, because that would be dangerous and wrong.
Yeah, you can't actually carry, I think it's like a knife, a gun, and a mace you can't carry. It's so dumb. It's just basically, hey, you want to rape somebody in Canada? Go for it.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for people in Canada because they still seem to be under the spell of Mr. Trudeau.
Well, he's new, right? I mean, he's a new, young guy, son of the old Trudeau.
Yeah, and they all think he's hot, all the ladies.
Right. But, hey, on the bright side of things, the last bit of thing you posted me before you went to sleep last night, there is a chance that we will see, even though this is a war that Trump is inheriting, or wars, we might see the resurgence of the anti-war left who were dormant for the past 8 years. So that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I thought that one was a pretty funny meme. So, yeah,
although,
the left was in hibernation for the last 8 years and supported all the wars because they were Democrat wars.
Yeah. Although, protesting in the street, holding up a sign, begging your masters to not do a thing, just legitimizes their status. But if you're going to be principled and be against the war, be principled and be against the war, regardless of who's in the White House, please.
Yeah, indeed. So while we're still going, I just want to scroll through some of the play-by-play from last night. I think it might be entertaining.
Do it. Yeah.
So one of the first things I sent you was of course, that quote about the meme about Democrats will take an early lead, but then Republicans will take over once they get off of work. I thought that was good.
Yep.
Then I sent you one of those I voted stickers that said, I consented to the system, which is beautiful.
Classic.
And then after that, I started giving you play-by-play updates starting about 5:30 p.m. Pacific time yesterday, so before things were truly settled. But the Alabama...
At that point, say Trump had taken a somewhat... He was taking somewhat of a lead at that point or not yet?
He was showing signs of life. Like, I think Florida was starting to turn his way, and that's where people started getting concerned on the left.
Because, you sent me a bunch of posts that were taken earlier in the day, like in the morning, and there were all these hopeful, proud, I'm with her, pantsuit nation people. They were all excited.
Oh, yeah, they were taking selfies of them voting and wearing pantsuits and like, oh, I'm so excited about this momentous day. And one of the people booked a ticket the day before, I think, for the inauguration. And
right.
then as things are progressing in the evening, she's like, oh, my God, what did I do? What have
Jinx
I done?
It.
Did I do this? But the first thing I saw was that Alabama philosophy professor who I went to college with, who he says in his Facebook post, hi, guys, I remain intensely worried. And this is about 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And people are responding to him, hey, no worries. We got this, bro. Like, oh, yeah, I'm worried too, but we're going to be okay. And then as things progress, it's like, ah, fuck Florida. North Carolina can save us. The close states are too close. Ah, boat sinking, please help. Ah, dude, ah. And my comment to you in sending this was, haha, suck it, lefties, for now. You know,
cause right, because we weren't convinced, like, at that point.
No, we were like, oh, you know, they just got to put on a show, right? They got to, like,
yeah.
make her the rugged underdog.
Yeah, the plucky underdog.
Yeah, yeah, comes back. And, you know, we were even saying, like, this was settled ages ago. Like, what are they worried about?
Right. I mean, like, yeah, because you asked me the day before, you know, what's your prediction? And I said, always bet on the establishment. Because
right,
they have
an
unblemished track record.
Yeah, they have an unblemished track record. Though, I think you're forgetting Brexit in that moment, because you had mentioned it earlier in the day.
Mm, that's true.
But, yeah, and
but
then
yeah, so
I
this took me all by surprise. Go ahead.
And then I was sending you, like, these 538 candidate paths to victory, and they showed, like, the certain states that needed to be won and certain shades of red or blue on which way the states were leaning at the moment. And it was looking like very Trumpy right around 7:30 p.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dow futures were down 700 points and people were freaking out. A mutual friend of ours was texting me and he was like, is this it? You know, like it being, he knows me for like prepping, you know, and being wary of economic collapse. So that's his mindset of me from, you know, from a few years ago, I'll grant you. And I was like, no, this isn't it. You know, it's not going to collapse tomorrow, but, you know, the Trump thing might worry some people. And so we went back and forth a little bit and he was like, well, I'm worried about World War III. And I was like, well, Hillary worries me more on that regard.
Right.
And I sent him this list of things that Hillary had done in the Middle East. Or claimed credit for, and said, yeah, she's basically a neoconservative.
yeah, she is. Whatever happened to the anti-war left? Disappeared.
Yeah, exactly. So there was all this disruption in the markets as this was all shaping up, and I kept sending you updates from 538, and I was saying, you know, oh, here's fear. And then around 8 o'clock, I sent you a thing that said, there's been a lot of talk about Clinton trailing in Michigan and Wisconsin, but Pennsylvania may be the biggest problem. She's up by 4 points, but the lead is slipping, and most of the votes still to be counted are from outside of the cities, which predominantly is not Democrat-leaning. And
right.
they were saying that if she loses Pennsylvania, there is no way she can win. Like, Pennsylvania was going to be key. And so I said to you, she loses PA, she loses. Can it be? And you said, is this really happening?
And at that point, I was getting excited. I was actually I was enjoying what was happening, and I was just enjoying the spectacle of it. I was just having fun. You were posting these crying liberals, and to come to be where I'm at, where I used to be one of those crying liberals. I remember when Bush the second got elected, and I was just like dumbfounded because I thought he was just this idiot moron that just didn't know what he was doing, and it was terrible. And now to go back and look at those tears that I mean, I don't remember crying, but to see myself in these people now, I take extreme pleasure in it. So I was really enjoying myself. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, so my response to you was they're just putting her against the ropes for dramatic effect. It makes a better story. And you had said, if they make her out to be the plucky underdog, I might get physically sick, which is kind of funny because all the lefties later on were saying how they were crying and vomiting and they couldn't decide which one to do or whatever. And
yeah.
I was still unconvinced. I was still saying, Trump goes down in the eighth. You know, they got to make it they got to make it exciting, you know. So it's like throwing a fight. And you said, yeah.
You don't have them fall down in the first round.
Yeah, it's not like she's Mike Tyson, right?
No.
So you said,
she's
yeah,
so hideously unlikable.
Yeah. So you said, yeah, it can't look too rigged. And I said, well, now they're saying she has to win all three of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania to win. And
which are notoriously blue states, as I recall. Probably Obama won those easily.
I think he won two of the three. I don't know for sure.
Michigan, Pennsylvania.
Someone can fact check us. I don't care.
Yeah, don't care either. But I remember Michigan notoriously being blue with all the auto workers and whatnot and unions. Yeah.
Well, as many as there are left, I don't even know.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go, Michael Moore. And the rest of them in Flint, anyway, are all water poisoned. So, you know, that's a government issue, right. By the way. So anyway, I said all three were tight, and you said they know how to put on a show. And let's see, I'm just going to scroll through a couple of more things. They were calling certain states leaning towards Trump. And then even some, like, people I don't consider super lefty but friendly were saying, I'm confused and frightened. I was expecting a landslide in favor of decency and reason. And all these people were saying, me too, this is insane. What the hell, America? And my comment to that was lefties losing their shit.
Uh-huh.
And you said lefty tears taste the sweetest.
There's just a higher sugar content in lefty tears. I don't know. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah, I love how folks from our perspective, and there, I saw lots of like Anarchy Ball posts and in the Tom Woods group saying that they were enjoying the spectacle, and everyone was referring to the lefty tears. Like it became this self-perpetuating meme type material. Because you and I just started throwing tears in our personal conversation and then started seeing it in the mass genesis of things, which I don't know if that's a 100th monkey situation or there's something.
I think it's convergent evolution. I think everybody just had that on their mind. I don't know. First of all, the tears were absolutely real. There are images of Clinton supporters just weeping openly. And then there's all the people on Facebook posting about their crying. And I think there's a certain amount of satisfaction, at least I get, from seeing these people that wanted to impose their will upon me, that wanted to dominate, wanted to control me. And for basically Trump to stick up a big orange middle finger is really satisfying. Now, maybe eventually I'll come to regret this. maybe Trump will really do horrible things, and of course he's going to. But
yeah, that's a given. That's a given.
Right. But and we'll never know, if Clinton would have been worse. But for now, just for this moment, I can really, I'm just totally trying not to think it through too much and just enjoy it. Just ride out the wave of saying, fuck you, don't try and impose your will on me. That's basically where I'm at.
Even though an authoritarian who's going to impose his will on you was selected. But yeah, I get your point.
Indeed, he was absolutely, undoubtedly the anti-establishment candidate that was left. He funded his own campaign. Clinton took all the money from the Saudis and Qatar and just every special interest group there was, Goldman Sachs. She was absolutely the bought and paid for candidate. Say what you want about Trump. He was not the bought and paid for candidate.
Yeah, that's what's so funny, that all the lefties are like totally in the bag for this lady. And I use those two words together advisedly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, yeah, you're right. She was the one who was getting all these Wall Street contributions. She was the one who was the establishment that they were railing against. So, in Occupy Wall Street and all these other situations. And
yeah, then they turned around and supported her for president.
Yeah, and then they were saying that Trump was the oppressor, and because he was rich and he had lied his way to create money for himself through graft and political influence. And he never held a public office. But certainly he played by the rules that were available to him at the time. What would you expect anyone to do? And I sort of lost what my original intent of this little mini rant was going to be. But I just see this disconnect between the railing against the elite and then the support for Clinton, because she is the elite. She is the epitome of the elite with the political power who has gained their wealth and prestige through coercion and violence. Whereas Trump may have exercised some of that, maybe, in some of his dealings, But he also provided numerous jobs. He created value. People voluntarily gave him money for services and things that he provided. And I'm not saying he's a saint in any respect. And there may have been a great deal of corruption in many of his dealings. I don't know. But I know that all of Hillary's dealings were corrupt by their very nature.
Absolutely. Her list of crimes is so long. It's really sickening if you go through them. And she is absolutely the pay-to-play candidate. I mean, all that money doesn't come without strings attached. If she had gotten into office, she would have been providing political favors for all those people. And you complained about corruption and graft and lying politicians. Well, you almost voted one of the worst in history. She's like a boss Tweed. It's kind of dumbfounding. I mean, it shows you how afraid of Donald Trump everybody was that they were willing to vote in a monster like Hillary Clinton to be
the first female
president.
Still some hardcore feminist lefties who were saying, oh, she'll still go down as one of the greatest people in history. There will be 100 years from now coins with her picture on them about how she's so great and made so much progress for the undertrodden people of the world or some other bullshit.
That she's a champion for the disenfranchised is such a joke when she has been the establishment for decades. She has been in bed with, literally and figuratively, with the establishment for decades, and she is not afraid to sell any political favor for any amount of money. But go ahead, she's your people's champion. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So later on in the evening, like 8:20, 8:30, people were already on the left saying, and this is before it was clinched, before he had it locked up, and I use that term advisedly as well. Quote, has someone thought of an impeachment plan already? Like, who is Trump's Lewinsky? We know there are several. And I said, I'm loving this. And you said, this may be temporary, but how can you not enjoy them losing it?
Yeah.
And I wrote, gypsy tears. And then there were all these comments in the analysis, like, well, it's the white vote that's getting him the win and blah, blah, blah. But then there were other things that were saying, well, he's actually getting more Latino and black vote and women vote than Romney did. So if anything, he's an improvement from what the expected Republican position was going to be in those sectors, which totally flies in the face of their narrative, where he's this racist, bigot, misogynist, asshole, patriarchal motherfucker with a glass ceiling, liar, sexual abuser, pussy grabber,
right.
What have you. I mean, that's quite the title, if you think about it.
It's just a way for them to frame this election to be whatever their issues particularly are. If I'm a woman and I voted for Hillary and we lost, so then that means the whole country is full of racists and bigots and misogynists.
Yeah, that seemed to be the thing. I mean, the three biggest concerns that were brought up in this 538 thing were slow productivity growth, declining economic dynamism, and low trust in government, which, I mean, that hit me, that third one. I was like, yeah, sweet,
Yeah, and, I'm super concerned about that.
And you were saying, I love how the lefties are framing it as a win for ignorance and bigotry. He hasn't won, but they've already coming out all holier than thou. Maybe people don't want another decade of the Clinton crime family.
Maybe. just a thought.
And I said, I'm more interested in this election than any I can remember. And you blamed this very podcast and said that we should have a good episode this next week, maybe do a reaction episode, which, faithful listeners, this is the reaction episode. This is the Reed Rothbard podcast. We're a Rothbardian, anarcho-capitalism, and we're built on the NAP with an eye towards critiquing popular culture to provide context for the uninitiated.
Well said. That's what we do here.
That's what we try to do. And usually it's through movies, but this is popular culture. I mean, this was like a real-life train wreck happening in real time, and you had to crane your neck. I mean, you got to be a looky-loo with this shit. You got to slow down the traffic to take a look at this disaster.
Yeah, you can't speed by this one. It was just too glorious. Too glorious of a train wreck.
So this is about the time I started getting texts from my buddy, and he says, how can a turd like this even win? And I can't fucking believe it. And I said, dude, they are both turds.
Yeah.
And his response was, yeah, but he's borderline retarded. He speaks gibberish. And I said, so is GWB.
Yep, even worse.
Yeah, and he said, not as bad, was he? And I said, worse. Trump can work a room. And it's true. Trump can work a room.
Yeah, the guy's been public speaking for a long time, even though he's been in the private sector. He's been a reality TV star, and he's got a certain amount of charisma. It's true.
All right, give me a rant here for a few minutes. I got to go grab a screaming kid.
Give me a topic.
Your reactions to Wenzel's thought that Hillary winning would result in gridlock in a better position for expounding the libertarian message versus a Trump victory.
Okay. All right, so these are two of some of the most hated candidates in recent memory, and I'm not sure either one of them would really be able to get a whole lot done, even though the House and the Senate, I believe, are both Republican. And there's I guess Paul Ryan is making some tracks to try and repair his relationship with Trump or whatever, trying to mend up the Republican Party. Whether Trump is a destroyer or a builder for the Republican Party, I don't know. My initial thought was that Trump was going to be too divisive. They seemed to not like him at all. They wanted to get him out of there. They thought he had no chance to win. And so if he did win, that they weren't going to work with him to pass crap, which would be fantastic. That's the idea. From a libertarian, anarcho-capitalist type perspective, you want gridlock. You want absolutely nothing getting through. Maybe some repeals. That would be great. Repeals of past laws. Get rid of all that crap. Fantastic. But for the most part, don't do anything. If Clinton had gotten in and you're sitting with the Republican House and Senate, she probably wouldn't have passed so many laws. But with Obama's and Bush before him's expansion of the presidential decrees where they just kind of grant themselves the right to do the thing, they just like, I'm going to make a statement that I can bomb so-and-so, and then they just do it. With the expansion of those kind of presidential powers, at least it sets a precedent. It's all illegal, but it's all immoral is what's more important. It really doesn't matter. I mean, that's the big fear, right? That you got this guy that everybody likes, or at least a lot of people like, Obama. You're like, well, since Obama's doing it, it's fine. He's granting himself all these new expanded powers. But oh no, what happens if someone we don't like gets in there? Oh no, then that guy will have all these powers. So how do you like it now? How's it taste? When us libertarians and anarchists have been saying all along these presidential powers are horrific. And now you got somebody in there that like, well, now he's got this finger on the button.
Yeah.
And he can nuke and bomb whoever.
You like that sting? That's pride. That's pride fucking with you.
Yeah, so when a president usurps all these powers and you're totally fine with it, you don't call him out on it, then somebody you don't like gets into office, and now you're worried. Well, you should have been worried back when Obama was doing it, back when Bush was doing it. So, I don't know. Gridlock matters, is good, but with all these expanded presidential powers, it seems like whoever sits in that chair can just become the most horrific war criminal tyrant on the planet. I mean, with all the drone strikes and bombing that Obama's been doing, I can't see Trump just stopping doing that. He might, but there are vested interests to keep attacking and bombing and murdering people. It's called the military-industrial complex, and it is a real thing. They have monetary interest in selling arms to the government. And what is the government going to do but use those things? They don't buy them to just have them sit around. So then they go and bomb people and kill people, and that creates angry people. And you get blowback, and you get more excuses to keep bombing. And it's a never-ending cycle of violence and murder and death. And I don't see Trump really stopping that. I mean, he did say a few things that we shouldn't have gone into this war or that war. But then he says other things that are like, well, I just want to do it. I just do it better. I just do it smarter because I'm really smart.
Yeah, just go there, kick their ass faster or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you believe what they're actually say what they mean, they're going to do what they say, which I don't. Who knows? Who knows what he's really going to do? I don't trust him to just stop the wars. I mean, he seemed to be the non-interventionist type, at least more than Clinton. But Bush in 2000 ran under a non-interventionist type platform, and he turned out to be the biggest war hawk in forever. So fuck them all.
Yeah, well, Woodrow Wilson ran on not getting us into World War I, and what did he do? He worked doggedly to get us into it.
Got us into it.
Similar with Roosevelt, Franklin. He argued against all the interventions that Hoover was doing into the economy to try to stave off the Great Depression, and he campaigned against it. He said, this guy's practically a socialist. And then what happens when Roosevelt actually gets in the office? He does everything that Hoover was doing and worse. He expands on those very same programs.
And all the embargoes that they put on Japan, they were basically starving Japan into World War II. They put all kinds of crap.
Yeah, anyway. So to believe anything that these people say in their campaign promises is folly. And that brings up another meme that I sent you in our little chat last night. And this was the I don't remember the guy's name. He was the super smart guy, the arguer guy in The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. The
companion of Fezzik.
Yeah. He's like Italian, or I forget what his name is. He's like Sicilian.
Yeah.
He's got like an O at the end of his name. But anyway, yeah, we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's the guy who, you know, there's two drinks in front of him, and he switches the drinks, and he's like, one of them has poison and whatever. And in the reference to the election, he says in this meme, only a great fool would vote for an obvious lunatic. I am not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the candidate on the right. And then on the other side, it says, but they must have known that I was not a great fool and would have counted on it. So I can clearly not choose the corrupt politician on the left.
So good. So good.
Yep. And then more liberals losing their shit, like, shortly thereafter. This is just before 9 o'clock last night. A friend of mine from high school was posting on Facebook some article that was saying that the neo-Nazis were supporting Trump, and that if you voted for Trump, this is what you voted for today. You're unreal and disgusting. Because,
yep.
You know, because
certain election.
People, because certain people happen to support you in some way, of course, that's all that it represented.
That's right. That's all your vote represents. That's how we frame the discussion, the debate. That's how we frame it. This is what this election meant. It was a win for neo-Nazis. That's all it was.
And then there's
stupid.
And then right after that, there's a bunch of How to Move to Canada articles. And right after that was a Don't Fuck This Up, Florida, like right before Florida kicked over to Trump. And all these people are saying Florida's giving an ulcer. And Florida always fucks everything up. Florida's awful. And then Krugman started in on he had a big Twitter rant about how we are a failed state, and this is setting us back, you know, years and years, and the nation is falling apart.
For those who don't know, Paul Krugman, he writes op-eds in the New York Times.
Yeah, and he was he's a professor at Princeton in economics. He's won the Nobel Prize for economics, so he is looked at upon many as a definitive appeal to authority when anything comes to economic questions. And he butts his head into politics on the side of the left constantly.
Yeah.
And he's a big-time Keynesian, big-time.
Huge Keynesian, yeah. Big interventionist, government power. So what happened after Keynesian, after Krugman?
After Krugman, there's some more analysis that says, unless Clinton can somehow win Arizona, Trump is going to be the president. And things are still moving along. Someone in the Tom Woods group wrote, election night drinking game. Trump wins a state? Drink. Clinton wins a state? Drink. How to win? Die before the results are in.
Good stuff.
Oh, that's good. And even before Trump finally won, spoiler, in case you don't know, I mean, we're late to the party on this. Some of my lefty friends were saying, I'm now having more hope for state versus federal government. also considering the option of living in another country for a while. I'm disappointed in us. So in that, there's a little bit of a silver lining. You know, this state versus federal, that's at least a step towards decentralization, which is an improvement on our current situation.
Sure, and I want more people questioning, you know, just because somebody in some chair in a White House in Washington, D.C. says a thing, does that mean that you're obligated to obey that person? Absolutely not. More people need to question this. I hopefully this disaffected left learns the right lesson, although I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think that if anything, maybe last night and maybe this morning, they would have been open to it, but now they're starting to consolidate as they move through the stages of grief, and they're doubling down and resolving to take the power back and fight harder and be more aggressive in their desires and in their actions for next time, which is a scary thought.
Well, you sent me some posts that were talking about violence, not just in, if you voted for Trump, I hate you, I'm going to kill you, but, and some people actually said that, but like violent resistance and revolution and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of secession talk, like Northern California and Washington, D.C. wants to become a state, and they're talking about splitting off from the rest of the U.S. because they don't agree with the vote for Trump. So it's essentially, you know, oh, democracy has failed us, so we want to secede. And, you know, the humorous thing in this is that anyone else who has ever talked about secession is considered a neo-Confederate slave wanter, you know, like you want to have the good old days of slavery.
Yeah. Yeah, you're seen as an evil villain if you want to just leave a thing, if you want to be left alone or whatever. I know when after Brexit, there was a brief Texit movement, and a lot of people were like, you know, some people were saying, yeah, good riddance, leave, go, but others were less favorable. There seems to be this narrative that if you want to leave, then you are a racist or a bigot or in somehow intolerant of other people simply because you don't agree with being violently ruled by a certain group of people. It strikes me as incredibly dishonest, but that is the narrative they're pushing.
Yeah, yeah. And another image I sent you, these are all screenshots from my phone last night. I was up for 5 hours in bed just looking at this shit and sending you picture after picture. And I titled this one, "That Sweet, Sweet Lefty Tiered Tea is Dank." And this was a girl that I know. She lives nearby. And she says, "I've never felt so defeated. This is awful. The fact that it's even this close makes me feel like this country doesn't respect me as a woman and doesn't value any of the same things that I do. This is an awful feeling."
Man, do they always make it about themselves. They are really good at that. Whatever I care about, whatever my issue is, this was a referendum on that.
Right, but then they start bringing in the kids. She does it later, and we'll get to that. I mean, I saw so many, how am I going to tell my kid, you know, things, yeah, or what are we going to do about the future generations, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, Trump, he's going to, what is he, sneak inside? He's like the Tooth Fairy, except he strangles kids to death. Is that what he is? I forget. He's got the hair of like an elf creature.
Yeah, an orange goblin troll creature.
Right. So is that what they're really afraid of? I don't understand this fear-mongering. There were a bunch of people calling, like, this is a vote for hatred, and if you're black or trans or minority or whatever, I will help defend you and protect you and that sort of thing. What?
Right, because you're going into the camps or whatever.
What? Is that the fear, that he's like the Hitler and he's going to start the camps up and get the trains going and he's just going to start rounding up the darkies? What about Trump's speeches has led you to believe that he's the next Hitler?
Well,
have you been calling about? I mean, it's possible. There, those kind of camps, conspiracy have said exist, but I just don't think he's got the political capital to spend on something like that. But go ahead, let me hear your argument, Daniel.
Well, I mean, I was actually more afraid of Hillary presidency as a clamping down on freedom of speech and our mm-hmm. podcast or comments that we make to each other, even in private. I mean, those are all, of course, cataloged and scanned and if of interest are looked at. And I think that, you know, Hillary was a greater risk on the face for that kind of thing. I think Trump is less so in a certain respect. But well, again, they're both terrible. You know, there was no good option. They don't let you have a good option. If they took the whole population of 330 million people and said, okay, who voted for this person and who voted for that person and who didn't vote and which one got the most, it would be the didn't vote for either one.
No, by far.
And even that would still be quote-unquote democracy and be immoral, but at least it would be more accurate.
Right. Two-thirds of the country didn't vote. Two-thirds. That's a huge majority.
Yeah, and some are young and some are felons. I mean, we have the most highest prison population per capita in the world, and they're not supposed to vote or whatever. But as you and I agree, voting is a violent act. It is an aggression against your fellow person, and it's an immoral act. And that's not a totally, you know, it's not a, there's no consensus in libertarian or anarchist circles on that. Some people do vote still and claim to be libertarians, and I can see their argument in, you know, certain respects, like if they're trying to be defensively voting or trying to, like Gillespie and some other folks who are trying to get to 5%, though that's, like we said, a contradiction in terms that the Libertarian Party is trying to get federal funds.
Mm-hmm.
Those two do not add up.
Right. I mean, I want more stolen loot for my political party. Okay.
Yeah, that just goes to show that they're not actually libertarian. They may be libertarian in name, and that's why
they're
we'll
linos.
Refer to them. Yeah, or we'll refer to them as capital L or big L libertarian, which is a proper noun for the party and not the philosophy, which essentially boils down to the NAP, as we've said before. The only thing that really qualifies anyone to be a libertarian is to believe in the non-aggression principle and that force and fraud are illegitimate. Not that they won't happen, but there are repercussions that are permissible when they happen.
Right. It's not that there wouldn't be fraud and force. It's just that it wouldn't be seen as legitimate. It wouldn't be legal. Like, when a government perpetrates fraud and uses force, it's always legal. It's always done legally. The worst atrocities done in humanity in the past, like, I don't know, 200 years, they've all been legal. I mean, the extermination of the Jews was perfectly legal in Nazi Germany. All the death camps in Soviet Union, China, those were all legal horrors.
The starvations, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's terrible, you know, and it's all in the name of progressive leftism, generally, that many of these atrocities happen. And the fact that leftists don't take ownership of it is disingenuous. You know, they claim to be the they claim that progressivism means that they care about the downtrodden and the underrepresented and the oppressed and all of these things. But the tactics which are used throughout history for the redistribution of wealth and the special status given to certain groups of individuals based on characteristics is horrific. The track record is abominable. A quarter of a billion, billion people were murdered in the advance of this philosophy.
Yeah, this belief in authority, it leads to horrific tragedy. And hopefully people don't feel represented. I got some new Facebook notification that said I got a whole bunch of new representatives, and I said, no, I don't. I don't recognize any of these assholes as representing me, nor should anybody.
I got the same one. I didn't look at it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just like, swipe, you're gone.
Yeah. So moving on in our recount of the commentary, we started getting these short 5 or 6 word leftist status updates. Sad to be alive for this.
Even now, it still feels good.
My dog is having a nightmare and whining in his sleep. I feel you, homie.
Right on, bro.
And let's see. How do we get up in the morning and go on?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable, America. Why do you have so much hate in your heart?
Yeah.
And then
they feel like they've just never had a conversation with anybody who's ever voted for Trump. I mean, I think my dad might have. I know he was kind of a supporter of the guy, and that guy's about his least hateful. I mean, the most things he gets angry about is, like, football. So It just strikes me as totally tone deaf. They just can't imagine a world where anybody would vote for the guy when all he's done, and we could get into it, like we've gotten into it a bit, but his crimes are mostly going to be in the future. For whatever you think about his past, it won't come close to even holding a candle to what he'll do as leader of the biggest mafia in the world.
Yeah, the power he wields is so much greater. The damage that can be done is 1,000 times greater than what any private person, individual, or even group of individuals, like in a, you know, a business, a corporation, could yield or wield.
Right. If he had done terrible things, it would be seen as illegitimate. Now he'll do terrible things, and he'll be seen as legitimate.
Right. Yeah. If it was a business and he was doing terrible things, no one would buy his product. He would no longer receive any funding to finance the terrible operation. But now he has the keys to the kingdom. And I think
fuck it all up and fail forward.
Yeah, and I think what you were saying while I was away for a moment was that all of the license that was given to previous presidents in the executive orders and the encroachment of powers that they were able to just sort of claim without a whole bunch of consequence, and since someone else did it in the past, now any future president can do it again because there's precedence for it.
Uh-huh.
Now they're scared shitless because now this maniac is in power.
Right.
And, you know, if anything, that shows you that any unchecked power is dangerous. And I don't even mean checked in the, you know, three branches of government sense, because the checks and balances in the three branches of government have one thing in common: government.
Mm-hmm.
Government's going to decide what government can or cannot do, and the check is if another section of government says it's okay, that's fucked, people.
Yep.
All right?
Total bullshit. Yeah, you hand the government all the guns and all the power and say, here, police yourself. Here, limit yourself. It's not going to happen, people.
Yeah, that's the truly utopian idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a Rothbard quote. Dream. I will post it below. I've used it before, and I'll use it again because it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next things are where they start bringing the kids into this. So I said, well, now they're bringing the kids in, and I show a couple of screenshots to you. One lady I know, she says, I was just thinking about my sweet, innocent boy and the world in which I want to raise him. He will be okay. We will be okay. If it takes more love and more focus, perhaps, but it will not under any circumstance allow the hatred that spews from Donald Trump into his little heart. And then the philosophy professor at the University of Alabama, and I'm sure there's, you know, a dozen of them or so, so if you look at their website, you might be able to figure out who this guy is. I feel overwhelmed, and I go into my son's room and sit with them while they sleep, and their sweet innocence makes me feel better and worse.
Yeah. Feel you, bro.
Yeah, and then Moby, the music artist, wrote a couple of tweets, and this is one of the shorter ones, which is a little bit less aggressive. But this one says, America, you are so much more racist and misogynistic than I'd ever imagined.
Yeah. Way to frame it. Frame it, Moby. That's what this was about. It was a vote for racism and misogyny. I'm sure every Trump supporter, every Trump voter was like, isn't there just a box I can check for racist and misogyny? Isn't there? I mean, okay, I guess I can just vote Trump, which means the same thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then shortly thereafter, this is about 10 after 9 last night, I sent you a little montage of photos that one of my feminist friends put up. And it's pictures of herself, five photos of her dropping off her ballot and saying, and this is earlier in the day, so 16 hours prior or 10 hours prior, 10 hours prior, it says, this is me wearing sunglasses to vote because I started to cry at the drop box. And she's wearing a We Made History Hillary pin and dropping off her thing, and she's all hopeful and status is voting in the election. Beautiful stuff.
Warms your heart.
And then right after that, I sent you a meme. And I'm sorry, folks. This show is going long, but we're going to get this all out of our systems because next episode, Trump is, like we said, enemy number one. We're only enjoying the Schadenfreude for the day, and then it's over.
That's right.
But this is a Democratic person or Democrat person and an anarchy ball. It says, oh, I can't believe that racist asshole Trump won. Democracy has been hijacked. And the anarchy ball responds, hi there, I couldn't help but overhear your trust in the U.S. government has recently been shaken. Might I suggest you move to Somalia? Because that's their response to us all the time.
Sure,
we're like, government, the government's corrupt.
Move to Somalia.
No government there, right? Well, no, actually there's competing factions to become the next government. So not exactly the utopian paradise that you make it out to be, lefties.
That's right.
And then some other posts. If you vote for Trump today, make sure you explain it to your LGBT plus female, black, Latino, Latina, Muslim friends why they don't matter to you. You know, all these emotional attacks on people after the fact are ridiculous. Like, what? You're not going to change the outcome with your bitching and moaning.
Yeah, and they act like they're such experts of who and what Donald Trump is and what exactly he stands for. It's like they're painting him with so many different brushes, and you know it's completely dishonest. The term gets thrown around is like identity politics, I guess. And it's all just horrific bullshit. He's not a great person. Everybody agrees on that. But to say that he is anti all these people, I mean, he's a politician now. He as long as they vote, he's going to try and get their vote. He's a panderer now. That's what politicians do. I mean, maybe he's actually going to get in there and buck the system. Doubt it. But we'll see.
Yep.
What's indeed. Next, Daniel?
Some more lefties saying, welcome to the Trumpire. This is unbelievable, America. Why do you have so much hate in your heart? Did Russia hack this election? I demand a recount. I made my kids mock ballots before the election at home. My son voted for Hillary and started weeping when he saw that his sister voted for both Hillary and Trump, because apparently the kid didn't understand the whole thing. And the one other kid, you know, started crying and was consoled by the other, because apparently in these leftist households, the kids have been told that Trump is this evil monster and that he's something to fear. And because the left had made him into this monster and all these lefties believe it and have now shared it with their children, I understand why they have these concerns about how they're going to break it to their kid that Santa Claus isn't real. The thing they made up is not real, and the reality has now happened, but now they have to, like, dial it back and say, well, he's not actually an evil monster. I mean, that's where they're going to have to get, right? Like, eventually, so they can continue on in the world? And you know,
I would rather they treat every politician that way, honestly. I mean, these people are parasites. They suck off the productive. If everybody looked at every politician as a criminal trying to rob them, I think we'd be making some serious progress on this world. The fact that it's only Donald Trump, I don't know if this is the beginning of hopefully a more enlightened, in my view, worldview, or if it's just, let's just get the bad man out and we'll get the good people back in, and then democracy's awesome, A-okay again, and government's totally cool.
Well, that's certainly the default setting.
Right.
But
hopefully it go towards more every politician's piece of trash, but I can dream.
Hopefully that there is the distrust in the democratic process now, like that's now tainted a bit, and hopefully the like we mentioned before, the realization that any powers that are aggregated by any one authority can easily slip into the hands of somebody they don't like, so long as that person they don't like achieves that position. So hopefully that tempers their blind acceptance to executive orders and continued growth of state power, though I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I would like every single thing he does to be super scrutinized and criticized. But I want that of every politician ever. So,
yeah. Now, one of my fears is that the recovery from the previous recession has been somewhat lackluster in many ways. It's taken a long time, though. I think as Wenzel has demonstrated that we are actually in a boom period, there will eventually be an actual recession from today's position, and that it will likely happen in the next couple of years. They tend to happen, you know, between 7 and 9 years or something along those lines. And since we're 7 to 8 years into this recovery. It's due to happen on Trump's watch. And I can just see this parallel to what I believe Steph argued back in 2012, if Ron Paul had won, that if the economy were to suffer another recession during his presidency, it would call into question his ideas and capitalism itself and the free market and libertarianism. And I fear the same thing, though not for libertarianism, but for capitalism, because I think that they will embody capitalism with Donald Trump because he's a businessman and a Republican.
Right.
If not in name only.
Right.
But they will, when the recession occurs, and I don't know when it will, but, you know, it's likely to happen during his first term, they will say it's an indictment of capitalism itself, and that Bernie was right. We need to get back into more regulation and more socialization and takeover of private businesses and go to a single-payer, government-run healthcare system and all of these things. If anything, this could serve as a springboard to greater government control, and that is a fear.
Those Facebook socialists were calling for that. They were saying that, you know, Bernie was our guy, and we need to come back stronger and stronger with the Democratic Socialist Party. In fact, that some people are even calling for a new party, a new Democratic Socialist Party. Remind you of anything? Anyone? Anyone? The National Socialist Party? Anyone?
That was capitalism, right?
Yeah. So it's possible that if whatever happens, you know, falls and capitalism will get the blame and there will be a new rise in the socialist left. Hopefully not. There is a serious backlash to the SJWs and the socialists, among libertarians and anarchists. I don't know if it'll be enough, hopefully. But there are a whole lot of dumbass ideas out there on Facebook, like we see every day. And a lot of them came out of the woodwork yesterday. It's not looking great. I'm going to be honest with you. You might be right.
Yeah. So it might be one of those, like, You get a victory in a certain battle, but then the war is still going on, and you're only going to embolden the enemy.
Right. Yeah, it might inspire them to even greater atrocities.
Yeah, not that we actually won anything. All we won was the entertainment value from last night, like from our
perspective. Yeah, and like the big middle finger to the establishment and the establishment media.
Yeah.
If anyone was really paying attention to the media in these past few months, this is a huge middle finger. This is... I mean, so many articles just came out about how terrible of a person Donald Trump was and how you are a total horrible person if you support him. And he won. So what does that say? And how, especially since, you know, everybody was saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win, the media was saying that. So in that sense, since I am a big-time opponent, shall we say, of the lefty mainstream media, it feels good in that sense. But yeah, I'm not on the winning team. I didn't win anything. I'm not a Republican. I don't buy into the idea that any one person can rule over any other person. So it's all illegitimate. But in a thumbing your nose at the establishment, yesterday was fun.
Yeah, it's the most fun I've had in a while in any of this politicking business, for sure.
Yeah, it's mostly just depressing.
Yeah, it's still depressing at the end of the day, but at least it was entertaining for a moment. And right. And like I said, the high that we had from last night and somewhat this morning is already coming down. So that's why we wanted to get this show going today while we still had a little bit of that juice, those gypsy-tier juice flowing in our veins.
Yeah, I didn't want to come down, crash, and then try and do the show. At least try and do it while we're still at least a little bit on the high.
All right, so we're going to be winding this down soon because we're going pretty long. But the next update I sent you was Pennsylvania is close with Trump barely ahead. Here's the Clinton problem. The county that hasn't reported yet, Romney easily won there 4 years ago. This is serious trouble for Clinton. And my commentary to you was, she's in serious trouble here. Backed up on the ropes. Trump hammering away at the body. This could be it.
And I was still skeptical of everything you typed. I thought you were calling it too early. I just didn't quite believe what I was seeing.
Yep, yep. And then the Facebook post right after that was Krugman on Twitter saying that North Carolina appears to be going one way or the other, and this is a problem. And someone else said, Trump is winning. America is clearly a nation of hate. And another person said, actual crying. And this is when I just let it go. I was like, bask in it, Johnson. Let it rain over you. Feel its warm embrace. Schadenfreude. It is so good.
Yeah. It doesn't happen very often. We don't get to feel this way very often in this kind of situations. So
yep.
Get it while the getting's good.
And I said, you said, yeah, it feels good. Big grin. I said, I really thought this would be a boring night, that she would surely win. And you said, and this is key, because down below, folks, you will see what Robert suggests here. I want a mug that says Lefty Tears on it.
Well, can you blame me? You could either put like Feminist Tears or Lefty Tears or SJW Tears, but just make everything you drink taste so much better, wouldn't it?
Yep. And then I said to you, I want one of those Newsweek covers, because Newsweek had printed basically coronation covers for Hillary.
And not only coronation covers, but yeah, like the entire issue was articles filled about talking about her and what she's going to do in her presidency and that sort of thing.
And how historic it would be, and the glass ceiling is broken, and blah, 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 which is pretty funny. And I said, I want to frame that shit. You know, it's the Dewey defeats Truman headline,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is good stuff. And then this morning I sent you an article that was on Yahoo where they were saying that Hillary's supposed what was going to be the victory party was at the Javits Center, Convention Center in New York City, and it has a glass ceiling in there. And so in the article they say, Hillary is still under the glass ceiling of the Javits Center, nursing her wounds or whatever. And I was like, oh, man, this is so literal and, you know, figurative, yeah. And fucking Pulitzer for this bullshit writing, right?
Yeah, it's bad.
So bad. Like, that's, like, worse than soap opera writing, right? Like, oh, her evil twin comes out and the glass ceiling is shattered, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, is it talking about this horrifically oppressive oligarch that is at the peak of power is some oppressed woman that just can't get to that over that hurdle? What a joke. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like Emma Watson being the UN ambassador for women and how they're overlooked and earn less than men for the wage gap or something. And, you know, she makes like more than 99% of men in the world.
Right.
You know, which is fucking ridiculous. Like for her to be the face of the oppressed women is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see a bunch of other updates. What the fuck? This can't be happening. I did not see this happening. I'm ashamed. I know I have privilege and I work to be an ally to those who face oppression and discrimination in our country, particularly in schools every day, and I really didn't know if this was this bad, even if Hillary Clinton pulled ahead, that fully half of our fellow citizens would rather vote for an inexperienced racist, sexist, misogynist. So this is before it actually like got locked up. People are already losing their shit. Just the fact that it was even close.
Right, because they thought it was going to be such a landslide and that everybody had pulled their heads out of their asses and seen the light of the SJW progressive left. That Hillary Clinton would just be coronated and we would all walk off into utopian bliss. But it didn't go that way. And everybody was like, holy shit, what the fuck? Totally caught off guard. And it was really good.
Yeah. And here's a few more headlines from people. Why did they make Hillary run over Bernie? Why? I wish there was a puking Facebook reaction button. Thinking about my dual citizenship real hard right now. Crying and vomiting at the same time.
Is that cromiting?
Crying and vomiting. Yeah, cromiting. That
yeah,
would be
cromiting.
And then there was an Onion thing that said, this is kind of funny, FBI uncovers Al-Qaeda plot to just sit back and enjoy the collapse of the United States.
That's clever.
And then we move on. Minimum wage was increased in Washington, to which I said dummies.
Yeah, and soda taxes were passed in like 3 out of 4 cities around the country.
Yeah, but a lot of pot initiatives were passed, so I mean, I guess that's like a slight improvement. Permission is granted from some of the rulers.
To do one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next update is I'm a barf. Next person says, please defriend me if you voted for Trump. I wish I never knew you.
Kind of harsh, but all right.
Next one says, tonight, after 8 years of dedication and determination, Americans once again go to sleep, the greatest nation on the planet. Thank you, President Obama, for the courage and commitment honoring the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Here's to the next 8 years full of continued hope in her story. That was from yesterday morning.
So good.
And that's one of the people who was later crying, like, I'm physically puking.
Yep.
Then I sent you a George Orwell quote that said, a people that elect corrupt politicians are not victims, but accomplices.
Amen, brother.
And next person says, dear God. Next person says, here's what I know. No matter what happens tonight, I am lucky to be surrounded by the most amazing family and group of friends who stand in the light and who know what's right. No group of racist, misogynistic jerks can take that away from me.
Some virtue signaling there.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the virtue signaling. And here's another one about the kids. What the fuck do I tell my son tomorrow? What the fuck?
Dude, we're not racist. We're not misogynist. We voted for Hillary.
Yeah.
Yawn.
Oh, and then a bunch of people are posting this meme. Waiting for election results is like waiting for a grade on a group project. I know I did my shit right, but I'm scared y'all fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And next one says, I had no idea I would be so emotional today, but reading some of the posts on here and what this day could mean is amazing. Our daughter's daughters will adore us. I'm with her. That was from yesterday morning. Later on, she says, what am I going to tell my kids?
Oh, what a difference a day makes.
And right after that, I send you this update from 538. Says, Fox News has called Wisconsin for Trump. There doesn't seem to be enough votes left in Pennsylvania for Clinton to come back. If that's right, it means Trump is likely the president-elect. To which I write in all caps, it's all over. He's done it. He's done it. And you said, don't call it early. Wait for it. Wait for it. And the next update was the Clinton campaign's hanging on by a thread. She needs to pull out both Michigan and Pennsylvania and win Alaska and New Hampshire or win Arizona, which is going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible. But it's a straight, if not a royal flush. So she had to basically run the table at that point to have any hope of coming back. And
spoiler alert, it didn't happen.
Spoiler did not happen. And then there's a couple of other long-winded, very angry posts from some friends of my wife. I won't even bother reading these, but it's basically, you're a terrible fucking person if you voted for this guy. Another one from earlier in the day. Today is the day to make your voice heard. Remember that the election is not just about our next president, but so many important races at the state and local level. If you haven't voted and you think your vote doesn't count, you are wrong. Get out there and vote. And then a picture of herself wearing a pantsuit. So another example.
She doesn't
of these,
just want you to vote.
Yeah, but another example of these people who go into it claiming that your vote matters and that it's a choice that is being made and it's a great and gravy thing. And then when it doesn't turn her away, she freaks the fuck out.
Yeah, and calls everybody that voted the other way a hateful, misogynist bigot. So which way do you want it? Do you want everybody to vote, or do you just want the people that are going to vote your way vote to vote? How is democracy working out for you when you're in the minority? How's that feeling? How's it feel?
Yeah. I said, I guess they don't like the results.
Yeah.
And then George Takei, Sulu from the original Star Trek, said, I'm addressing this to all those who voted to defeat Donald Trump and what he represents. We may not have prevailed, but we must not despair. Many of you, like me, are in a state of shock. This does not feel like the America you and I love, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, but the nationalistic crap.
Yeah. Bullshit, bullshit. Continuing on, because, you know, I'm going to channel Alex Jones here for a moment. He actually had a big post about how amazing this all was.
How they blew up the Death Star.
Mayor Ed Murray of Seattle said, regardless of the outcome of the presidential race, Seattle's values will not change. We're still progressive. We're still a city that embraces diversity and welcomes immigrants, a city that does not have a religious test.
Yay, virtue signal.
And Robert Reich, the terrible leftist former Secretary of Labor, said, it's an awful night, terrible news. If Trump becomes the next president, it seems likely we're in for an awful ride. And he
said, a lot of gloom and doom prognostications.
Yeah. Yep. He says, the American power structure, both with Democrats and the Republican parties, has been dealt a severe blow. Bernie Sanders was correct. The system has been rigged.
Well, didn't Donald Trump also say that? And haven't we been saying that, like, forever?
Well, it only counts if if it's against lefties, all right?
Okay.
So a bunch of other posts. Yeah, I did inundate you. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I enjoyed every single one of them.
Kids, the kids. What about the kids? And I wrote, monster. He's a monster.
What are people going to tell their kids? Can you imagine? I mean, what would you say? It's unbelievable.
Yep. And it seemed to be in anarchist and libertarian circles that people were having the they were seeing the fallout and screen copying and posting it in groups to show. It was basically like, oh, you have someone whining about what they're going to tell their kids. I'll raise you with someone's going to like go punch people who voted for Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one-upsmanship. Look at the crazy people I know.
Yeah, so here's where it starts to get good. So after Trump clinches it, this person wrote, if you voted for Trump, fuck you. Fuck you, I don't care if you're my family or friend. Tonight I comforted a sobbing young woman who was distraught that this could be happening in her first election. Tomorrow I'll likely have to explain to my four-year-old son how a person who spews hatred won the election. I never wanted or expected to need this. I thought we were past this. Fuck you. That's good stuff right there.
That's a measured response. That's just calm, intellectual, measured response. Good.
Yep. Next one says, celebrate this victory, ignorant America. And as we pull out of NATO, celebrate each aggressive advance that Russia makes. Then celebrate the collapse of world economies. Then celebrate when we pull out of the Paris Climate Summit because global warming doesn't really exist, right? And as we reverse every environmental movement we have achieved, then celebrate when each country follows suit. Then celebrate when you have to look your children in the eye and say, yes, I wanted this. When you when you look at the U.S., the world order, and the planet, and we see it in destruction. Yes, America, nice work indeed. I guess an email scandal was worth it, wasn't it?
I love it. I love the narratives they invent. Yeah. All this future predicting is just so priceless. It's wonderful. And then just the narrative they concoct in their head of the person who voted for Trump. That's all the things that they wanted. That's beautiful.
Yep, and then they start blaming. So next one says third-party voters. That is all.
Yeah, those fuckers.
If I ever find one. Then game, not blouses, so game shirts. Pennsylvania goes to Trump. Wisconsin goes to Trump, and that's it. She's down for the count. She can't get up. It's all over, folks. It's all over.
Game.
That's a ball game. And then people are saying, oh, this is great. Anarchy Bell said, the left is about to collectively throw the biggest temper tantrum in the history of mankind. Just hook that shit into my veins.
I want to mainline that shit. Mainline that shit in front. So good.
I don't have words to describe what is happening. Our country just sent an unmistakable message that a huge part of our population fears and dislikes those who look, act, or believe differently than them. This man is not and will never be my president. I don't stand for racism. I don't stand for xenophobia. I don't stand for misogyny. I don't stand for hate. He doesn't stand for me. He never will. I've lost all faith in humanity and in our country. Just absolutely disgusted. We deserve the early extinction we're driving our species to. Forget reconciliation. I will do everything in my power to oppose everything that man does. What a disgusting human being. What a disgusting society we are.
So the words of Donald Trump weigh more and are more important than the actual murders and horrific crimes that Hillary Clinton has committed.
Apparently so.
So you can kill as many people as you want as long as you don't say anything bad about anybody. Okay. Lesson learned. Thanks, lefties.
Yep. And then lefties, after it's all over, say, I think a lot of Americans are exploring the darker sides of humanity tonight. Friends, please be gentle with yourselves. Next one says, this is going to end up being a pretty big mistake. Next one says, I'm wearing my pantsuit. It's going to be a long day and evening. So that was from in the morning. Let me try to find, oh, I am heartbroken. There's another one where there's a bunch of violence suggested. Let me scroll down. There's Alex Jones blowing up the Death Star, celebration. Another person posting pictures of her kids. In case you need a reminder of what's at stake in this election, besides the decency of our country, here's my kid. Yeah, right.
He's apparently going to be murdered by Donald Trump.
And the environment, and clean water. And
yeah, that's right. Because evil capitalists, that's what they love to do, just drink shitty water.
All right. Yep, all that Flint water, man. Let's see. Let's get down to the violence. Where's the violence? A bunch of celebrities saying they were going to go. What the actual fuck, America? No.
No!
I'm waiting for him to say, psych! This is a sad day for America. I hope that Mr. Trump can lead with dignity and put the ways of being a complete ass behind him. And then there's some memes. Me kayaking down streams of liberal tears. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's the one. All right. So this is a guy who had it out with me a few years ago about the Second Amendment and whether people should be allowed to have guns. And, of course, his argument was no, people should not be allowed to have guns. But, of course, he meant normal people shouldn't be allowed to have guns. Of course, police and military and government should be allowed to have guns.
So if you're wearing a costume, it's fine. If you're wearing, like, normal clothes, it's not fine.
Right, and that worked out really well in every other regime that disarmed their citizens in history and then slaughtered their civilian populations.
The Jews say, A-okay. Good idea.
Yeah, so here's his quote. So don't equate what I'm about to read with me. But he says, on Facebook, in a public forum, he says, if I found out someone I know voted for Trump, I will beat them to a goddamn pulp. Fuck your high road. Fuck your understanding. You mentioned in my earshot that you voted for Trump. You are a racist, sexist, bigoted, moronic piece of shit because you have to be to vote for that. I will beat the living shit out of you. I hate you. Heat of a thousand suns, hate. You are my goddamn enemy, and I will go to jail killing your backwards ass. I am not tolerating anything anymore. I am fucking done.
This has got to be the new poster child for the compassionate left.
I am glad that he doesn't like guns because I am afraid of what he might do if he had one.
Yeah. This is your caring and compassionate left. This is people that don't have an argument, so they resort to violence.
You know, I can sort of understand his opposition to people having guns if he himself is capable of getting to such a hot white rage over something so stupid that he would threaten to kill people. So if he could get to a position to where he would use violence and use a gun to commit murder, therefore no one should be allowed to have a gun, right? Makes sense.
Right, because people are like him. And if it happens to him, then it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
From his perspective.
And it's just funny how they say that Trump's all about hate and racism and misogyny and sexism and sexual assault. But all they're saying in response to him winning is they hate him. They hate anyone who voted for him.
Yeah.
They want to commit violence.
All the hate coming from them.
Yeah, they want to commit violence in response to it. It's crazy. And then there's more like, for our kids, we must continue to stand and fight for what's right. And it goes on and on. And, you know, then they're doubling down on he's terrible and they're going to vow to fight harder. And all that beautiful, beautiful nonsense.
Well, if more people stop, you know, doing the Pledge of Allegiance because of Trump, great. If more people disrespect the office of President of the United States because of Trump, great. But if it's just a matter of, well, I don't like that guy in the chair, well, then I think you've learned the wrong lesson.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, man. It's a crazy, crazy situation, and I think we do need to wind this down. This special has gone on longer than any other special in the history of specials that we've ever done.
Oh, my goodness. But we did have a fair amount to talk about. It was a pretty big day.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to throw in there? Because, like, now is the time, because we're going to wind this one down.
Off the top of my head, no, I think we've said all that needs to be said. Again, just to reiterate, we're no Trump supporters. Although I would not have been nearly as entertained if Hillary had won. So, in that sense, I got a little bit of enjoyment out of it. But he's going to be terrible. He'll be a nightmare, and we will rail against him and what he says and what he does. And hopefully people will keep an eye on the anti-war left. Hopefully they'll come back. Hold Trump to task. Put your, keep a close eye on him. Hopefully the media, the left media, will be criticizing everything he says and does. But, you know, when a Democrat gets back in, don't go to sleep. Because your team won, or whatever bullshit you think. Despite what you may think, this was not a referendum on hatred and bigotry and sexism and racism. There may be some slight amount of that, but I think it's far more about bucking the establishment and rooting for the underdog. Because despite what you think, Trump was the underdog in this. Even though it was like the first time a woman was ever elected, Trump was funding his own campaign. Hillary was accepting dollars from anybody that would give them to her with express IOUs in political capital to give back. She's about as establishment as it gets. And if the country votes anti-establishment, it's slightly better than voting establishment. Still not great. It's still legitimizing the system. It's still saying I want someone to rule over me, and it's legitimate that somebody rules over me. But and it's also imposing your will on your neighbor. It is believing that you have the right to vote to take away somebody else's things and give them to you.
Or the causes that you think are more important.
Right, right, exactly. Or that, yeah, your money should be spent on this thing that I think is important, or what have you. It's all illegitimate, and it's all a nightmare, and who knows what's going to happen, but hey, I had a good time on an election day. When has that ever happened?
It's been a long time coming, man. Hey, I do want to mention one other thing before we sign off related to the election, and not only do I blame Zarna, but I also blame Hillary. One of the WikiLeaks emails, of the Podesta emails, was about the, have you heard about this, the Pied Piper strategy?
Not off the top of my head. Maybe I've heard about it, but go ahead.
So it's a brief one-page email where it basically outlines a strategy that the Clinton campaign will, throughout the primaries, support the most right-leaning candidate who can gain popular support to basically weed out all the moderates on the conservative side. And so they highlighted Trump, Ben Carson, and Ted Cruz as potentials, and they would basically push the narrative so that they would have to align themselves further and further right so that they would have their choice of having someone who had a following from the right who was the nominee from the Republican side, but who would be unpalatable to the general election. So in a way, the Clinton campaign orchestrated or tried to make happen Donald Trump being the nominee. They supported that notion.
Basically setting up a straw man for her to knock down because he would be so easy to defeat.
Exactly.
Or at least someone that she could defeat, being as like an unlikable lizard pantsuit creature.
Yeah, and right. You know, it's a strategy for attempting victory, and it backfired spectacularly in her face.
Yeah, so. And maybe, you know, all the murders that she's done, maybe all the crimes that she's committed, maybe those played a part. I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, maybe.
All the women that Bill has raped, that she has attacked, maybe. Because she's such a feminist champion, right? All these lying women come out and accuse her husband of raping them. They're just a bunch of lying attention whores, right?
But all the ones are accusing Trump are, of course, legit, right?
Those are legit, Daniel. Come on, you know this.
Yeah, it's so two-sided, two-faced, two-fucked, all of it. Just too much.
Politics is, buddy.
And it's the ultimate divisive tactic. It's the thing that divides us more than anything else. And you hear all the rhetoric leading up to it about how the other side is so evil, so terrible. And then on the back end, you know, oh, we almost unite as one. And it's all bullshit, all of it.
Absolutely. That collective bullshit can fuck off. We're individuals. The rights of the many do not trump the right of one. So fuck off.
I think that's a good way to leave it there, Robert. So,
me too.
We are the Reed Rothbard Podcast. We run ReedRothbard.com. This has been the election special. We've got books, lectures, articles, this podcast at ReedRothbard.com. There's Amazon links to the Tom Woods Liberty Classroom, which will have a Black Friday weekend special. So if you are interested, save your clicks for right after Thanksgiving. You'll save some coin, and we will get an affiliate commission. Beautiful thing. We've got the Enemy of the State podcast, which is just Murray Rothbard lectures. Those are on the iTunes, Google Play Music, YouTube, basically anywhere on the internet that will take us. We'll post our stuff there. Any final words, or shall we just sign out there, Robert?
Yeah, sign out. Just stay safe. If you see some crazy lefty, maybe don't go bragging about how you vote for Trump or something. Stay safe, because these people... Maybe they're just talking shit on Facebook, but you really don't know. So take care of yourselves, people.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for this election special. This might be the only episode we do this week, but we also might do another one for Friday. We will see. We will be posting this one today, day after the election. And thank you very much for spending the time with us. I know it went a little long, and we hope it was worth it. So thanks again, and peace out, homies.
Peace out. The Chipmunks. C-H-I-P-M-U-N-K. We're the Chipmunks. Guaranteed to brighten your day. Do-do. Do-do-do-do. Do-do. Do-do-do-do.